So let's get started, not take too long today. Today is Sunday, June 25th, 2023. And what we're going to talk today is something I've talked about for a long time, understanding what happened at the end of Acts. And I'm just going to put it down on record so we have it, and I may not hit all the points, but this will be a page full of notes. So let's start off with a word of prayer, and I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family and every family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and the length, depth and the height of the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul gave this exhortation to the Hebrews, and these were the ministers of the saints of the Hebrews in Hebrew chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. He said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Well, in my opinion, to rightly understand the strong meat of the Bible, the mature student of the Scriptures must understand what happened at the end of the book of Acts. Invisible to the natural eye is a major paradigm shift in God's administration that is absent in the teachings of the religions of Christianity. God made a detour in direction, but many were misled by the enemy to continue ahead on a path that has resulted in much confusion and division. So let us take a close look at the end of the Acts with the guidance of the Holy Spirit of truth. Acts 28:16. Turn to Acts 28:16. And when Paul came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of Paul, well by himself, a soldier that came. So right here we notice that Paul was treated differently than all the other prisoners. This is likely to be Paul's, on the ship, he prophesied safety of the crew if they would stay on the ship. And because of his healing powers on the island of Melita and his survival of a poisonous snake bite. So Paul was no ordinary prisoner. They thought he was God, small g. Besides, the Romans could not find Paul guilty of any crime. Paul had now by this time been in confinement for almost 3 years, 2 years and about a year for the trip to Rome from Caesarea. Verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, I don't know why 3 days, but that's a good thing in the Bible, 3 days. But after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the bonds of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Now notice that Paul sought out the Jews before he sought out the believers in Rome. Paul's primary ministry during the Acts period was to the unbelieving Jew first. Also notice that the hope of Israel for a promised Messiah king and a restored kingdom are still in force at this moment. In verse 21, and he said unto them, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed. Now the English translation of they departed is misleading, to say the least, and has done great disservice to the truth. Greek here, 630, apoluo, means divorce, dismiss, left. This is the imperfect tense, meaning a continuous past action. They were continuously put away. When we study the use of this Greek form by the Holy Spirit in many other passages in the New Testament, and I won't go through them all, but it means to dismiss from the bond of marriage, to put away a husband, or to divorce. And this action done to Israel and not by Israel. They were divorced or put away or set aside by God after Paul quoted Isaiah. Continuing verse 25, after that Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So, this is a big deal. Apoluo. As Wayne Stewart would say, Apoluo, man! Apoluo! To not see this divorce has caused tremendous errors in man's understanding and practice in his walk with God. Not to see this change is the best way for the enemy to get a chance to misdirect God's people. Thousands and thousands of God-loving, Christ-loving believers have been led down the wrong path to religion because they have never been taught the truth of the passage. So the so-called apostolic father didn't see it. So-called Roman church never saw it. Even the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox church. And they say, well, we speak the language of the New Testament, Greek, so we understand it better. They didn't see it. They even speak the language of the New Testament. There is no measure of thanks that is appropriate for God to give us the wisdom of the Spirit wisdom and revelation in this knowledge, having our eyes of our understanding open to the dividing line in doctrine that keeps us on the right path. Had Israel responded to Paul in a positive way, it would have been a totally different outcome. The only hope a Gentile would have would be through Israel. But God has a reason for it happening this way. As the proverb says, he will direct thy path. He keeps us on the right path. Of course, now it's a plus to a Judean who can now become a member of the body of Christ, where before that wasn't even available to a Jew, but now it is. To this day, the remnant of Israel as a nation has not acknowledged the coming of their Messiah. They are blinded and do not want to hear or perceive that their Messiah has come in the person of Jesus Christ. There are individual exceptions, such as the Messianic Jews. But, you know, Messianic Jews are no different than those that were called Christians at Antioch. Those were Messianic Jews. That's who they were. This putting away of Israel as a nation by God was a result of three rejections by Israel, one in the Old Testament, one in the Gospels, and this one in the Acts period. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 is the one in the Old Testament, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. So this is partly God's doing. God is closing their eyes and blinding them for a purpose. He has another plan he has to fulfill and complete before he finishes up with Israel. The one in the Gospels is Matthew 14:14-15. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Thus at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's also repeated in John 12:40 in an abbreviated form, and this one here in Acts 28. 26 and 27. Now this putting away of Israel was prophesied through the prophet Hosea. This is the status known as Lo Ami, invoked upon Israel as a nation. We all know these, but for the record, Hosea 1:9 says, then God said to Hosea, call his name Lo Ami, one of his children, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. There's two parts. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Hosea 3:4 continues saying, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince, and without a sacrifice and without an image, and without an ephod and without a terror. Going on today. Hosea 6:2 maybe gives us a timeline. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. 2 days could be 2,000 years. Also, look at Hosea 8:8. You may not have seen a couple of these. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles, the vessel wherein is no pleasure. Hosea 9:17. My God cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Hosea 10:3. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? So they still have no king, no kingdom at this point. In our studies of the Lo Ami condition of Israel, we learned that God's prophetic time clock or calendar stops while Israel is in Lo Ami status. When God's time clock stops, all dealings that pertain to Israel also stop. This particular timeout is huge and is still ongoing. When God put away his people, Israel, he put away all things and all dealings concerning Israel, but not permanently, as some suggest. God says many times that he will restore the land and the people of Israel. For example, in Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a night, for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the fountains of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So, I don't know how people could read that and say that God has totally cut off Israel forever. Jeremiah 32, 37 through 38. Jeremiah 32, 37 through 38. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 33, 14 through 26. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And even Hosea 1:10-11, she says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the day where it shall be said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Just two more. Hosea 2:18-23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And Hosea 3:5, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now we come to Acts 28:28. Drink of water. Be it therefore known unto you that the salvation is God has said unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Ever since Jacob's name was changed to Israel in Genesis 32:28, Israel enjoyed a position of priority before God. Israel maintained that priority status all the way to Acts 28:28. In Paul's last epistle prior to the end of Acts, he proclaimed to the Romans three times, the Jew first. That's in Romans 1:16, 2:9, and 2:10. The Jew first. Upon his arrival in Rome after 3 days, Paul seeks an audience with the chief of the Jews before anyone else. By proclamation of Acts 28:28, the Jews lost their priority status with God and became equal with all other nations. The salvation that was of the Jews, as the Lord stated in John 4:22, was now sent to all the nations. Thereby, the Gentiles were promoted and Israel was demoted, making them equal with each other. God is now blessing all nations, including Israel, in a different way with a different hope. Paul explains it this way in Ephesians 2:13-22. Wherefore, remember, I think I started in verse 11, I'm sorry. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye are sometimes, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to create in himself of twain of the two, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Acts 28:28. Does not mean that God put away Israel and transferred to the Gentiles all the kingdom promises and hopes of Israel. Setting aside Israel is simply a way of God calling a timeout with Israel so that he could bestow his blessings upon the Gentiles. The blessings of the Gentiles has never been a secret or a mystery because it was prophesied in the scriptures. But this blessing is in a much bigger way than the mere grafting of Gentiles into the natural olive tree of Israel. The setting aside of Israel also meant the setting aside or postponement of all of God's dealings with Israel, including covenants, ordinances, services, promises, hopes, gifts, powers, positions, and prophecies. For example, the Abrahamic covenant was postponed. In Genesis 17:4, says, and Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. In verse 17:8, he says, and I will give unto thee and to after thee the land where thou art a stranger in the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So the promised land is yet to be occupied by the nations of Israel in their restored kingdom. Hasn't been completed yet. The Mosaic Covenant is postponed. Now I know most of the Mosaic Covenant has been fulfilled by Christ, but there's still parts of it that are left to be fulfilled. Moses went up to God in the mountain in Exodus 9:3. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you up myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples. for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which shall speak, thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, since the end of the Acts, there is still no kingdom of priests or a holy nation. That is yet to come. The Davidic covenant was postponed. 2 Samuel 17, 12 through 16 is the Davidic covenant, the covenant with David. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt be with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Talking about Solomon here. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And in 1 Kings 2:4, stated this way, that the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in the truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. So there will not fail to be a son of David on the throne of Israel. Well, that's not true right now. That will happen again yet in the future. 1 Kings 8:25. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David thy father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. Thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. So from the time of Jehoiachin went out to the king of Babylon to be carried away, there has been no descendant of David on the throne of David. And this will not happen until the return of Christ. The new covenant is postponed. Jeremiah 31:31. The new covenant. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach to more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. That covenant has not yet been fulfilled. The beginning covenant with Israel was brought in by Christ, but will not be fulfilled until God continues with Israel again in the future. The prophecy of Daniel 9:24 through 27 concerning the 70 weeks of years and the return of Christ was postponed at the end of Acts. Up to and until Acts 28:28, 67 weeks of years had passed. And Daniel's prophecy was, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up in the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the growth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah and the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 years. Shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, and after himself and the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So that hasn't happened yet. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of the abomination shall he make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The return of Christ should have taken place about 85 AD, had Israel accepted Christ as their Messiah. If that would have occurred, then we would not be here discussing this today. The millennial kingdom would have already long passed, and the white throne judgment completed, and this earth would be toast by now, burned up. There would be a new heaven and a new earth already. The fact that you and I are here speaking today is proof that something happened at the end of Acts. All appeals to the writings of Moses and the prophets as a witness have been silenced since the end of Acts. Gentiles had no knowledge of the writings of Israel's Old Testament. Moses and the prophets would mean nothing to them. Only in modern times do Gentiles have a knowledge of the Old Testament and the writings of Moses and the prophets. The spiritual gifts or signs and powers given to the apostles were discontinued at the end of Acts. These apostles, if you think about it, were unlearned common men. They were fishermen, they were carpenters, and so on. How were they going to stand up against the resistance of the Sanhedrin? They were given and bestowed by the Lord these special gifts. Show power high that would make the Sanhedrin stand up and take notice to give respect to their actions and their teachings. Sanhedrin has now been inoperative. There's no longer need for these spiritual powers. Now, Paul didn't really need those spiritual gifts and powers. He had some, but was actually part of the Sanhedrin, I believe, when Stephen was stoned. And I think when his stature with the Sanhedrin gave him a lot of credence to stand up against them as he did. But I don't think the 12 apostles danced to stand up against the Sanhedrin in the Acts period. It's my opinion. The so-called Great Commission of Matthew 28, 19 through 20 was postponed. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," or the end of the age. So this commission was yet to be has yet to be performed. Of course, there's no evidence in the Acts period that any nation was so taught or baptized by the apostles as commanded. So that's a future event that's still going to happen. After the end of Acts, Gentiles could no longer be grafted into the good olive tree of Israel, as I thought I was when I was a Christian, because the olive tree has been cut down. It's no longer fruitful. It doesn't exist. So continue in verse 28-29, and in the Companion Bible said this text wasn't in the originals, this verse. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt or continued 2 whole years in his own hired house and received freely all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He was unhindered. So it's hard to tell whether Paul was actually in prison there. It seems like he was in his own hired house, but it said continued. So maybe that means continued from the earlier parts of Acts where he was tied to a jailer, but a guard. But anyway, that's for another study. So by comparing verse 31 with verse 23, there's a couple of changes to note, and I think you all know these. You know, Paul is no longer expounding and testifying and persuading the Jews, but is now preaching to all that came in unto him freely. The effect of the kingdom of God has changed from the messianic kingdom in verse 23 to the overall kingdom of God, which now has a new entry, which was before hidden in God. There's a new dispensation now showing up. The subject changed from concerning Jesus being his earthly ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ being now his ministry from the right hand of God in the heavenlies. So apparently the Jews were not present here to resist under Paul's preaching. And I can only imagine what a dilemma Paul found himself in. He just spent several years converting Jews and Gentiles into the kingdom message and hope of Israel. And that message just got set aside for another message. How was Paul going to change the message so suddenly for many of these people without losing them? Now there was no Israel and no kingdom hope to offer. Not only did the message change, but so did the hope and calling change. Well, these all unfold in Paul's seven post-Acts epistles. The salvation of God is no longer to the hope of Israel, but to eternal life and freedom in Christ Jesus. The good message of salvation to life is given to the preaching of John's gospel to the world. Paul is given the revelation of a new good message. I don't like the word gospel. Paul is given the revelation of a new good message to the saints that had received the salvation of God. This was called the fellowship or dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ. Paul was given a second and separate ministry after the Acts. Accordingly, Paul was given to write seven more epistles to complete the Word of God. God is bringing his salvation to all nations through John's gospel and is calling out his chosen body of Christ through Paul's post-Acts epistles. It is important to note that what was written and was omitted in John's gospel in Paul's seven post-Acts epistles, because what is written and what is omitted are the two witnesses as to what happened at the end of the Acts. Because people are going to say, well, how can you prove or how do you know that Israel was set aside at the end of Acts? Well, these are additional witnesses. Read what John wrote and didn't write. Read what Paul wrote and what Paul omitted after the end of Acts. Tithing, water baptism, repentance, the Lord's Supper, the New Covenant are not mentioned in John's Gospel. Worship has changed in John chapter 4. The Gospel or good message changed to eternal life in Christ Jesus. Paul received a revelation concerning a chosen people by God before he chose Israel. The hope of Israel is no longer mentioned by Paul. There are many, many new superlative teachings concerning the called out body of Christ that were absent in the previous doctrines. Paul's post-Acts writings are applicable only for this present dispensation of God. The rest of the Bible will resume when God resumes his dealings with Israel. I think the general epistles of James, Peter, John, and Jude are going to be applicable in the end times as well as they were never written. Another confirmation of this change was that God allowed the Romans to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and a lot of Jews in AD 70. Millions of people were wiped out. This could have closed the door for Israel. No more temple, no more priests, no more city. Christ did not return to this earth in 85 because God's prophecy time clock with Israel has stopped during this time out and will restart when the present dispensation comes to a close. So those are many of the things that happen at the end of the Acts period. And there may be many more that you can think of. This is not completely comprehensive, but in any event, it gives you a good idea of all the things that happened at the end of Acts and why there was such a big change. And it really burdens my heart that so many God-loving people have never been taught this. And it's still a burden in my heart to somehow reach the saints that are out there today and give them a chance to see this and understand it. And the Lord is bringing more and more to us daily. So thank you, Father, for this lesson today. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for opening our minds and our hearts to see all this and understand it. It is worth so much to us. We ask you to be with all the saints this week in their lives. Keep them safe, keep them healthy, and meet all the needs as they need. In Christ's name we pray.